Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. You know, I'm so happy to be with you guys today. I could not wait. I'm so excited about today's show. I'm so excited. It's so power-packed. So right now, while I'm getting us ready, you need to go and tell your friends, text them, page them. Nobody pages anymore. What am I talking about? Call them, text them, whatever you got to do. Go ahead and let them know that we are live right now on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. So listen, this week has been quite amazing, and I can't wait to get into this. So many things that God has been really revealing to me. I mean, such a quick work. I'm going to give you some things, but not everything, but a lot of the stuff you're going to need for your, you know, need, and it's going to be encouraging for you or a friend or family member, whoever you may know. We are going to be talking about quite a bit today. So we got William McDowell coming, joining us. And then we got Gina G, comedian Gina G. She's going to be letting us know the trending tea and what she say. And also we got, we have my boy, financial consultant Jeffrey Hill is going to be joining us, and he's got so much stuff to talk about, and we're going to just, I just want y'all to be surprised. That's all. I'm not going to give you too much right now, but I just know that you need to be on with us right now. Okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this weather, because we need to know what's going on. Today in D.C., it is 41 degrees, mostly cloudy, and our high is going to be 46 degrees. And Detroit, you have rain going on. You got rain all day, it looks like. 38 degrees is your temperature. Rain all the way until 6 p.m. Let's see, your high today is 42. And you got snow coming on Friday. Just thought you should know that. Richmond, you are mostly cloudy, 42 degrees right now. And you're going all the way up to 55 degrees. Let's see. And London, you are 36. This is your high right now. You're going down to, let's see, you're going all the way down to only 32 degrees today. So that's pretty good. So in the morning, you'll wake up with 30 degrees. Los Angeles, you are 47 degrees right now. Your high is going to be 67 degrees. I guess that's all right. I think I would take that. Augusta, Georgia, you got showers too. Your shower is going to be ending around noontime. Your high is going to be 67 degrees. You got sunshine though all the rest of the week. That's good news, right? Fayetteville, North Carolina, you 50 degrees right now and cloudy. You are 62 degrees, and you got rain coming tomorrow, so be ready for that. South Australia, you have South Australia, you are clear, 94 degrees right now. Your low, well, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be 100. No, let's see. at 3 p.m. tomorrow, you're going to be a whopping 113 degrees. Wow. Kenya, you are 97 degrees, partly cloudy right now. This is your high, 97 degrees. You're going all the way down to 74 degrees. You'll be waking up with those temperatures. Alabama, from Kenya to Alabama. Alabama, you are 60 degrees and cloudy. You got rain starting at 11 a.m. right now, all the way to the evening time. Throughout the night, 11 p.m., you're going to be lifted off of the showers, and you are going to, your low is going to be like 40 degrees, okay? And then Paris, back up out of the country, you have snow flurries right now. 34 degrees is your high. Your low is going to be 28 degrees. You'll be waking up with that. The snow flurries will stop and you'll be clear tomorrow, but rain is expected for you on Friday. All right. So listen, as we wait to get the show going on, you know, I got a ministerial moment, okay? So the ministerial moment is this, okay? You guys know that I'm, you know, a single mother of a 13-year-old. And so I've been really, you know, every now and then I touch on these subjects and things. And right when I touch on them, I think I got it. I think I understand it. I think I'm with it. But believe me, I have been so wrong. So since the beginning of the year, a transition has been happening since July. And now it's coming a time where I believe that God is really, really helping me get back in a swing of relationships and things like that. Personal relationships, not so much business relationships or ministerial relationships, but personal relationships, dating and things like that. most of you know and follow me, you know that I have not been dating. And I think the last time I dated was maybe 4 years ago. And so with that being said, I've been really doing a lot of work. And you guys have been seeing that, hosting the shows and the book coming out, the fitness DVD coming out in the same year, same season, the podcast coming out the same time the book came out, the blog came out the same time the podcast came out. So it's been a lot of hosting the shows, traveling all over, doing radio interviews, launching the fitness DVD, doing boot camps, raising my 13-year-old son, and I just have not dated. It just was one of those things that I thought, you know, I'm busy and that was it. Well, let me just explain to you what God has revealed to me. And listen, I'm not giving anybody instructions. I'm just trying to tell you what has been revealed to me. So maybe, you know, this can be something for you. But you know what? I can't go into that right now. So you got to stay tuned, because when I pick back on this, I'm going to be Jeff Hill is going to be coming in and kind of tag teaming me a little bit on this, where he's going to incorporate finances in it and tell you what the blessing is behind it all. So you got to stay tuned for this. But right now, we got William McDowell joining us. But first, you got to listen to his single. So right after the single plays, we'll be talking to William McDowell.
I've been changed. In the presence of the Lord, I've been
free.
Delivered. And in your presence, Lord,
I've found joy.
Grace.
And favor.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love the worships in this man. William McDowell, thank you for joining us on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you.
Oh my gosh. Listen, everybody was so excited to hear from you. I don't know, but I know that they are just so excited. Your worship music, I Give Myself Away and I Can't Go Back, and so many others are so just inspirational and just takes us right to the throne of God. I mean, it's just such an anointing on you. Thank you so much for joining us. Listen, how did you know that this was your calling? Because there's so many listeners that want to know about that.
Well, I mean, one of the things, obviously, hearing the voice of God is crucial. And my life and lifestyle has been trained to be attentive to his voice from a young age. And so, you know, I did not know the totality of the call. One of the things that I've come to understand is that yes is an unfolding word. When you give your yes to God, you may not know what all of that means when you say yes, but that yes is an unfolding word that causes your future and your path to unfold before you as the Lord sees fit. And so I gave him my yes early, and everything that has happened in my life is a result of that yes.
I'm telling you, and you know what, William, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so glad that you're telling psalmists and singers or with all any genre of any kind, whatever God has them doing or whatever. But the thing is the yes and just stepping out there. And I always say with that, and people ask me, as a matter of fact, I was just having a conversation with somebody and they said, well, who did you connect with that, you know, takes you or challenges you to step out and do. I said, I haven't really had that because every time, you know, when God told me to do something, I just did it. And every time I walked it out, he would just send another elevation. It was never comparing to anyone. And so with your yes comes with the consistency. Would you agree with that?
Well, I've learned there's no greater mentor, no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. I think, you know, we a lot of times we try to trace our lineage to people, but the truth of the matter is, you know, the lineage of our maturity comes from our submission to the Holy Spirit. He's the greatest teacher. He's the greatest leader. He's the greatest mentor. And so ultimately, you know, there'll not be anyone that you can point to when you stand before the throne and say, I did not do it because they didn't affirm it or because they didn't, you know, see it. And so ultimately we have to be people who are accountable to him. And so, you know, for a lot of people, you know, the confirmation of your call comes when you are fully aware that not doing it is disobedience.
I'm telling you. I mean, songs like, I mean, that what we heard was I Won't Go Back, Give Myself Away, Spirit Breakout, Withholding Nothing, I Belong to You, Closer, Wrap Me in Your Arms, You Are Good God All Alone. I mean, it's just endless, endless, endless. And you do so many other things. And you also are an author. And I, you know, really people are just really excited about this part of your journey that you're contributing to the body of Christ is your brand new book, which is awesome, which is with Charisma, which is our family. I love Charisma. It's Happening. What is it about? What is It's Happening? Tell the listeners about how did It's Happening come about?
Well, really, this is a portion of the story. I'm glad that it's actually called It's Happening and not It Happened. I pastor a great, amazing church in Orlando, Florida called Deeper Fellowship Church. And God has been doing some significant things there. And on May 22nd, 2016, we had the beginning of what has now been a 2.5 year outpouring of the Spirit of God. He walked into the room and completely changed us forever. The story obviously is too long to tell in the interview, which is why it's in a book. But what the Lord did in that moment was really decide to take people from literally around the world and around this country and around the city, bring them together in one room at one time to answer their cry from different times at once. And so for me, it had been a 20-year cry for a move of God. From the moment that I had a significant encounter with God about 20 years earlier, crying out to God to be somewhere, anywhere in the world where he would pour out his Spirit that way. All of my songs and everything else, all of my travels have all been really my prayers set to music, crying out to God to position us for an encounter with God, not knowing that he would give us that encounter right here at the church that we pastor at. 'Cause that wasn't even a request. I just wanted to be somewhere where it was. But he decided to answer that prayer here. That particular service, we found ourselves laid out on the floor for hours, crying out to God. That began the outpouring that's still happening. Since that time, we've seen over 300 significant miracles take place, people getting out of wheelchairs and blind people seeing and deaf people hearing and cancers healed. And one particular family was healed of a brain-eating amoeba. A wife, a mother, and six of her children, who were all sentenced to die within 24 hours to 3 days, which is the life expectancy of this particular thing, and with a mortality rate of 97%. The Lord healed them within 24 hours. To our knowledge, we don't know of any other case where that particular sickness has been healed without medicine until this family. And so the Lord has done some significant things and continues to pour out the Spirit. I know that when the velocity of the miracles were happening the way that they were. You know, everyone wanted to talk about the miracles, but the significance is not just the miracles, it's his presence among us, you know, you know, Moses so eloquently said, it's your presence among us that is the distinguishing factor that sets us apart from all other peoples. And so really this has been for us the outpouring of his spirit in such a way where we've renamed our services rivers because we're not in charge. He's in control of the flow. He heals people. He delivers people. His presence is here. And so what is happening, the premise of it is that we understand that we are in an active outpouring, an active revival. But typically the way that revivals tend to be looked at is that there's a revival in a location that everyone needs to get to it. But the point of the outpouring of the Spirit here is that if it's happening anywhere, it can happen everywhere. It's not to say, hey, this is what's happening in Orlando, you should come. It's to say, because God is doing this in the earth, once he's doing something somewhere, it's available to everyone everywhere. And so it begins to chronicle our postures before the Lord and how you can position yourself to see it in your own life, in your own church, and in your own city.
Well, first of all, that is, I want to come and I'm going to come. I don't know when, but I got to come. I'm going to make a special trip. How long has this church been established in Orlando?
We are almost 5 years old. And it's remarkable to see.
Pastor William, do you know how many times I've been in Orlando? I had no idea. Comedian Gina G just moved from Orlando and was looking for a fellowship, a church home. I mean, she just moved from there in August. I have been going back and forth. I've been in Lake Mary doing podcasts with Charisma. I had no idea, but you know what? It's on the agenda. I'm definitely going to come. And if you want a move, because I am thirsty for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am starving.
Yeah.
So I might even plan a trip.
We've been very intentional about making sure that we are good stewards of this. And one of the fastest ways to kill a move of God is for you to put yourself in it, to put your name on it or try to brand it or market it or anything like that. And so ultimately, we've adopted a few postures, and one of them is that he's not in our presence. We're in his.
Yes.
So because of that,
it positions us in a different place when our perception is
Absolutely.
Different on truth.
Absolutely.
Then we can receive the outpour, because when you say he's in our presence, then that makes it about us. But when we enter
That's
into
right.
his presence, oh my God, there's so much fullness in that. I just love what you're saying. Like it's so refreshing. I love it. And I want to come, and I might plan a bus trip for people in DC, the DMV, to go. And, you know, if you got an event, you got to tell me about it. Because I know that if it's something done on a regular basis, I know that if there's an expectancy for something even extraordinary from him, and there's more people, like we're going to just say, possibly maybe an Azusa Street act thing going on, maybe a real, like
amazing.
A revival.
We have people that literally come from around the world. There are people here from other countries every Sunday. But in addition to that, I mean, we have every September, we host what is called Habitation Conference. And people literally come from around the world. In fact, the hunger is so great that last year, when registration went up several months ahead of time, it sold out in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
There is a hunger that people have in the body of Christ for what's real and authentic. And not to say that what's happening in other places is not authentic. I'm very careful to know that we've been given, you know, the responsibility of stewarding what's happening here. But we are fully aware that what the Lord is doing in the earth, he's doing it in pockets around the earth, all over the place. There certainly are a group of hungry people, and he's answering the cries of his people. That is something that is very evident to us, very clear to us, that he is answering the cries of his people in this season, and that this is a moment in history, and a moment in time where we have the opportunity for this generation, meaning when I say this generation, I'm talking about the simultaneous generations living on the earth at this moment.
Right. Thank you, Pastor William. Thank you for that truth. Go ahead. I love this. I love this. This is so good. I don't even think you understand. This is the bomb. This is the bomb.
Well, praise God.
I mean, because you're saying things that is speaking to my spirit of what he's been quickening me in. And I know a lot of us right now, it's the language, it's kingdom language. And when you specifically said the generation of not just what we know it as, but the way he sees it as man on earth, I love that you said that. That's like real mature revelation right there. And everybody does not see that. And that's what I'm saying is so many people are hungry for so much understanding of who God is and what he says. And you know what I mean? Because we add so much to it. But this is just so refreshing that you're bringing clarity to so many things that are misinterpreted as well, with so much love. And you can tell that it's from God wanting us to get in a situation. But please continue. I'm sorry. this is just amazing.
No, you're fine. But no, we have an opportunity to see revival, legitimate, bona fide, life-changing. And here's the thing, because revival is a buzzword, and we know that it's a buzzword, you know, right now in the earth, but there's nothing wrong with it being a buzzword, because it's what's on the heart of God. It's just our understanding. God does not ever intend for an outpouring to end. He intends for it to become a new normal or a new place of revelation for people to walk at. And so it's not just a season or a moment of consecration in which we have a good moment of time. That's just kind of, you played the song I Won't Go Back before we came on, and I know a lot of people, you know, maybe have their own revelation or interpretation of what we mean when we say that, but you know, significantly for me as the writer, it was different from just, I wasn't just talking about, I'm not going to go back to old life, or I'm not going to go back to old nature or anything like that. I know that's how a lot of people interpret it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, when you have an encounter with God, it's supposed to stay a present encounter. And so if you look at the life of Obed-Edom, one of the things that you discover with the life of Obed-Edom is the fact that, you know, of course, we know that the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, rested at his house for 3 months. And the scripture says that everything surrounding him was blessed, or that the Lord blessed him. And so we typically associate the fact that he was blessed because the Ark of the Covenant was at his house. But the truth is, it rested at Abinadab's house, depending on how you look at it biblically or scholarly, anywhere from 20 to 60 years, but there's no mention of the blessing. And so it lets us know that it's not the ark, it's the host. And so ultimately the blessing was attached to how the presence of God was hosted, and because Obed-Edom hosted him properly, God blessed him. And so as a result, what we see is that David comes to get the ark and to move the ark into the city of David. And when he does so, that the scripture says that he sets the different priests in to minister before the ark, and it includes Obed-Edom as one of the priests to minister before the ark, which lets us know that Obed-Edom did not stay where he was, but when the ark moved, he moved. When the presence moved, he wanted to be there, which means that he made a decision somewhere in that 3 months that whenever David comes to get the ark, I'm going with it, because I'm not going to live in a place in my life where I talk about a former move, where I'm saying, do you remember how great it was when the ark was at our house? Do you remember what it was like when the blessing was there? Do you remember what it was like when we had an encounter with God? He said, no, I want to stay in a present encounter. So therefore, I'm not going to go back to the way things used to be before his presence came and changed me. Once we've had an encounter with God, it's our choice at that moment, because God never intends for us to have that and then it lift and he move on and we stay in the same place. It's biblically impossible to say that you've had an encounter with God and you stay the same. Every God encounter in Scripture brings about change. Every God encounter in our life should bring about change. And so we're at a moment right now where the Lord is inviting us to another level of revelation, another level of intimacy, where he's raising up presence people. He's raising up people who value his presence above all else. And those are the people he's going to be using in this next season. So this is a moment of invitation, which is why when we say things like, it's happening, it's a clarion call, it's a prophetic statement. It's saying, listen, this is not something that's coming. It's happening. The Lord is actually doing this right now. John the Baptist had this moment And Matthew chapter 11 outlines it very well. He had this moment, he's in prison, and he sends his followers, his disciples, to Jesus, to ask Jesus the question, are you the Messiah we've been looking for, or should we look for another? And it was peculiar that he would ask that question, considering who he was, the prophetic forerunner to proclaim the Messiah, who identified him, who baptized him, who preached him. But yet, when he found himself in a prison where he didn't plan to be, he was asking this question, not only a physical prison, but a prison of doubt. Are you the one, the Messiah we've been looking for, or should we look for another? And Jesus' response to him, he could have just said, yes, I am, and that would have settled it. But instead, he said, go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cured, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the gospel is being preached to the poor, and God blesses those who are not offended because of me. In other words, go back and tell John it's happening. Go back and tell John that the thing he'd been prophesying, the thing he'd been believing for,
the reason why
he was born. Absolutely. It's happening. And what he knew that John would know, because John never got out of that prison, and what he knew that John would know at that moment was that if it's happening anywhere, it can happen everywhere. If Jesus is doing this for some, he'll do it for all.
Come on.
So I think that's the thing for us that I think we have to grab a hold of, is that if you hear about something happening anywhere, that's the moment to get excited, because now you know that if it's happening in Brazil, or if it's happening in Nigeria, or if it's happening in another pocket of the world, or if it's happening some state or city or church near you, it's not that it can't, or that God doesn't want to do it for you. It's that it's available, and the fact that it's available means that it can happen everywhere, and that's the point.
It's happening. It's what's happening. It's happening. And you have to, when you have that encounter with him, you must consistently remain. That's all I can say. Consistently remain there. Do not go back to the way things used to be, knowing that God has pulled you out of that. Be consistently moving forward, remaining in him. I love this. Please tell everybody, because the thing is that, you know, even in your own home, if you know that God is quickening and stirring and you can feel his presence, and he's teaching you and training you and taking you to a new place in him, and you hear this interview, then you got to know that it is right now. It is right now, because I know that I want to be wherever he is. I want him in my home. I want him, you know, I want to be in his presence. And just wherever the fellowship is that is just exuberating of him, I want that. So William, Pastor William McDowell, tell everybody where the church is, where they can follow you, and where they can get your book.
Absolutely. Well, Deeper Fellowship Church is in Orlando, Florida. You can find us online at deeperfellowshipchurch.org. And, of course, follow me at WilliamMcDowellMusic.com. And, of course, the book, it's happeningbook.com. And, of course, it's in Barnes & Noble and, of course, Amazon as well. And it's been a blessing to a lot of people. It's really stirred up a lot of people. And so I pray that as you're listening and as you look for this, it stirs you up as well.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Thank you so much. You are now a family member to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And I'm telling you, I am going to be there sometime this spring or summer. I will be there and I will let you know that I'm there. But I am just so excited about visiting your ministry. And I'm so excited about the book and how it's going to, you know, how it's taking off and blessing people. Just like the music, that anointing on you, the psalmist in you is just amazing. And I just thank God for you. You're just such an amazing vessel for the kingdom. And God bless you, your family, your ministry 100-fold. And I just thank you. I can say thank you 1,000 times for everybody that's listening. It's 1,000,000 listeners, and I'm sure they are very happy that you have come on.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Yes, Pastor William McDowell, I normally don't ask this, but I just got to ask you, can you please stay on with producer Doug and just do a radio drop for me for Dr. Gina's Radio Chat? Is that possible?
Sure.
All right. I thank you so much. All right, you guys, that is Pastor William McDowell, anointed vessel of God, the kingdom. I mean, he's just amazing. I love to hear and connect with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that. So anyway, I hope you were blessed by that. We're going to take a commercial break, transition, because comedian Gina G is going to be joining us with the Trinity and What She Say. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord and he ministered to me, he put that in my spirit, health and soul. And he said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what he wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
I'm walking in my favor. Gonna happen sooner or later. I'm walking. Listen, y'all. This is Lucinda Moore, and you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I am walking in my favor.
Come on, Lucinda. All right, come on with that. All right, Gina G, what you got, girl? Hey.
Hey, what's going on,
Dr. Much
Gina's
love
Radio
to you, Bilkins.
Oh, I mean, it is just a wonderful, busy, cold day here in Virginia, but I got some news for y'all. First of all, we're going to give a happy shout out for your day off that you had on Monday. If you had the day off on Monday for MLK, that's right, Martha Luther the King, as we like to call him, day was on Monday. And actually, a lot of government places that had like the, you know, the MLK monument and things like that were shut down because of the government shutdown. So they all they actually had maybe it was one or two places that the community raised money for the people to come and learn about Dr. Martin Luther King. So, you know, Washington, where you are, they had busloads of people come down to D.C. this week, I mean, on Monday, and they couldn't see anything. The African-American Museum was closed. And so this government shutdown has just really, you know, has just harmed so many different people in so many different areas. It's not only the people that are, you know, working 80 hours a week and not getting a paycheck, it affected everything. So we do want to send out, you know, like a notice to everyone to just Google, because we have Google now, to Google things and teach your children about Martin Luther King, because he was a great man. And that is the reason why, like my son likes to say, he's able to have white friends. I love it.
I think that is so cute.
I love it. So, I mean, of course, you know, the government shutdown has been since December 21st. You guys, this is the longest shutdown ever. So we have to just keep our president in prayer, keep our country in prayer, in hopes that I think tomorrow they're going to be the Democrats are coming up with another bill to try to kind of maneuver a way to get this government open without paying for this wall. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed. I'm following that story. So I will definitely have information for that next week, because right now it's still kind of in transition. The oldest man, who was 113, who was born July 1905, has died. He died yesterday in Japan. The oldest man in the world documented is a guy in Japan, and he was 113 years old, Dr. Gina. Can you imagine living to 113?
No, I can't. I don't know if I want to. It depends on what's in it for me. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
was he healthy? Was he good? What was he doing?
Well, he was in good health. He died of natural causes. I wish we can show a picture. Because he doesn't look 113. He may look like he might be in his late 80s, but he definitely did not look 113.
As long as I'm being able to be still used for the kingdom of God, then just use me until I'm just old and can't, everybody gone. I'll just meet new people along the way.
We're going to hold that, because that is my what she says. So hold on, because I'm going to need that. So say that. One more thing. Now, the Supreme Court is going to transgender military ban effect. There we go. I think I got it all out. Of course, the Supreme Court allowed President Trump's transgender military ban go into effect on Tuesday. So they will not be allowing any transgenders in the military. So that's basically what that ban. Trump said no. So, I mean, okay. And in a way, Dr. Gina, I kind of understand it because right now there is a transgender wrestler on a girls' wrestling team who is beating everybody.
I mean, oh, wow.
He is, I mean, he's beating everybody. And it could be the fact that he is a boy and he's on a girls' team because he's transgender. So, I mean, it's...
And you don't really know transgender, like, to what degree, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know, you know, their hormones, you don't really know. So I guess it's kind of such a delicate situation that, you know, most people just want to take their hands off of it altogether because you really don't know. How do you defend it? You don't really know, you know what I mean? Like, how do you explain it to those that don't like it and don't want it? Or, you know, how do you just, how do you explain it?
Justify that. Yeah, and it's very true. So right now you're going to have to enlist in the military according to whatever sex you were assigned at birth.
Okay.
So that band is, you know, unfortunate for the transgenders, but it makes a little sense. So it just depending on your outtake. Everybody has their opinion. But, you know, my opinion is that little boy whipping all them girls, though. I can tell you that, Dr. Gina. He has won every wrestling match. He is undefeated right now.
That is hilarious.
So we're going to leave
that is hilarious. I got to, we got... That's I don't even know what to say about that. That's something I don't even know what to say. But I do know to say this. Have you prayed desperate prayers to God but have yet to hear an answer? Maybe you're about ready to give up. Maybe your friends or family are telling you to let it drop. Best-selling author John Eckhart has a different approach. Get more desperate. In his book, Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times, Eckhart invites you to a prayer life that sees results. He uses the story of Hannah as a model and walks you through the five key points of her prayer that results in breakthrough. Through biblical teaching and practical application, you can persevere in prayer no matter where you are in life, how bad things may look, or what situation you find yourself in. Check out Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. All right, well, listen, we're getting ready for Jeff Hill to come up, and then we're going to continue on with what she say. But I had to continue on with Ministerial Minute before we get into what Jeff has to say, because, Gina, this is what we've been waiting for right here, and we finally got somebody up right under our nose. So anyway, I was... Right. Okay. So I was saying earlier that, you know, I've been busy working and all of this building and stuff like that. And I, you know, realized that I was going out of town and going, you know, I wouldn't hang out. Some people would think I would hang out with the artists and things like that, but I go right to my hotel room, go to bed and get up and go back home. So it was a lot of times I would like to celebrate and things like that and just did not have that, you know, that partner to do that with. So what God had revealed to me in this time, and I love this when Pastor McDowell started talking about just being in the presence of God, because he's been doing such a quick work in my mind, in the way I've been thinking about things so long. And it's so introducing me to him on another level that I'm excited about this. And I know that this is going to help so many people. Okay, first of all, I want to say to the single people, we have got to stop pretending like we don't want to be with anybody, thinking that we'll get somebody. God knows that you really want to be with someone. He knows that you're very affectionate. He knows that some of you want to have sex, you know, and you can't suppress the situation. See, and I think a lot of times from what I've experienced is that subconsciously we suppress it because we've been taught that it's not good. And it's you don't focus on that. And wait until, you know, God's going to send them. But how are you going to see him? How is he going to see you if all you do is go to work, home, your kids' stuff, go to church, go to the groceries? I mean, how are you going to be visible? So the thing is, it's not about suppressing the desires that you have in your heart, the things that God has given you human like. It's about taking it to him and allowing him to keep you, That's the thing, because we try to do it on our own. And when we try to do it, we hide in our work, we hide in school, we hide in our kids, and we yearning for attention. We're yearning to be with someone. I'm not talking about someone promiscuous. I'm talking about someone who has been married, maybe divorced, maybe you never been married, maybe you have a widow or a widower, and you just haven't been dating, and now you're starting in the dating scene, and you don't know what to do with yourself. One minute you having sex with your mate, rather it was hell or not, and the next minute you're not. So, I mean, how do you transition from that? How do you deal with those emotions? How do you deal with those feelings? And so even though we're called to celibacy and to, you know, and to, and well, I wouldn't, because I don't even think, I don't know. I just don't believe that none of us are able to be holy. I don't care how many times you say you're holy. I just don't. I mean, if you're cussing folks out, is that holy? If you masturbating, is that holy? I mean, you know, the only person that's holy is Yeshua and God. So that's another lie that we got to come out of. We got to admit that we're not, okay? We're striving to be, but we're not, okay? We are ratchet, and ratchet thoughts come to us and ratchet feelings, and you could have been not masturbating for a whole year, and then all of a sudden you like, dang, where'd that come from? Well, it was already there. You just kept yourself preoccupied. It wasn't for a purpose. It wasn't a mission. It wasn't something that you were giving to God in honest and truth. And so when you finally date someone, all of a sudden all of that stuff you thought you had going on just explodes once somebody holds your hand, because you did not deal with it. And so I'm saying to you at this time, from what God was telling me, as far as my walk, and then another thing that I wanted to say, because it's not just about a touch or, you know, having sex. I want to say emotionally, if you haven't dealt with another person outside of your sex emotionally, if they don't call you, you don't feel rejected. If they take too long to respond, you don't feel like you're abandoned. All of these things, you have to surrender them to God so He can heal you and you can learn and see things the way He sees them. And I don't have a lot of time. That's why I'm trying to rush. But I'm giving you key points that you can start right now, that it's okay with God. He's not tripping off of what you want. He's just trying to tell, you know, trying to train you in the way that you must go. So we have to become childlike before Him so He can raise us up to be able to see things the way He can see that He sees them, and impart into us the tools that we'll need to go forth. Because because you're staying away from it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to encounter it. You have to go through this thing to be able to learn from this thing, to be able to grow from the thing. Now, I'm saying, you know, if you can keep your legs closed, keep your legs closed. But if you didn't keep your legs closed and you didn't keep your thing in your pants, do not condemn yourself. Get up and ask God, why do I keep falling into this? What is going on with this? Am I misunderstanding my role? Am I not seeing myself worthy? Am I not seeing myself valuable enough to be waited for, or valuable enough to be proven to, or whatever the situation is? I just don't want you to be scared and put your head in a hole. You have to come up and go through some things. And what I'm suggesting is that you keep it to with the Father, your honest heart. Whatever you are struggling with, you can't run from that thing. You have to conquer that thing. That's a totally different thing. Hiding is just going to, it's just going to be laying dormant. It's going to rise up again and try to destroy you. So you have to go through the thing to conquer the thing. And like I said, there's so many different tools that we're going to talk about. Jeff is probably going to give a few tools, and then we're going to pick this up maybe next week. But just until we get an understanding that it's not something to be ashamed of, it's not something to condemn yourself of, but God wants you to be free. So when your mate does come, you're not all jumping on them like you like you ain't had nothing to eat in 1,000 years, you know, or you ain't showing cuckoo, or you ain't showing cuckoo quack quack right early, or you not. And I want to apologize to anybody that done heard, you know, got a taste of cuckoo quack quack. It depends on if, you know, what's cuckoo quack quack to you, but
I know that's right.
I know that is right.
You know, I grew up in the drug dealers days. You know what I'm saying? And those dudes love for somebody to act cuckoo, quack, quack. If you didn't act cuckoo, quack, quack, they was going to make you cuckoo, quack, quack until you acted cuckoo, quack, quack. Because that was the only way they felt loved, and that you wasn't going nowhere, and that you were, you know, you were going to be with them. The majority of them, that's how they thought. And they would brag about it to their boys. Like, you know, my girl is crazy. You know, she going to, you know what I'm saying? That's her blowing up my phone again. I mean, they thought that that was cute. So if you grew up in that era, then you know I'm talking your language right now. So these things God wants to transform you out of. So when you meet that match for where you are today and where you're going, you won't take and resort to those same familiar tactics that you did back in the day. That's all I'm saying. And until you are challenged by that, you don't know that you won't do that again. Trust and believe me, you don't know. You think you good, and then the devil send that one and trigger that one thing, or that person trigger that one thing, and then you find yourself doing the same thing you did to this person that you might, that was acceptable to the different type of God that was you were with back then. So that's all I wanted to leave you with. Be honest with God. Tell him the truth. I miss having sex. I liked it, and I want you to help me with this. You know, be honest with the fact that you want to do it his way. Be honest with him that you don't know how to date. Be honest with him that you don't know how to see people in a different way, that, you know, you feel like the same abandoned little girl. Oh yeah, I gotta pick that up next week. The little girl. Because we don't have enough time. Okay, so Gina, did you have anything? Because Jeff getting ready to come on and say his thoughts.
No. Look, that was honey, I'm still trying to figure it all out now, because like the drug dealer method, because I know some girls that were using abuse, you know, if he didn't hit you or choke you, you know, he didn't love you. So it's cray cray all around. It's all around the what they call it, the discommunication of what love is and what like is, and, you know, what's showing, you know, attention. It's all miscombobulated.
Isn't it crazy? That's the streets, though.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the streets. And if you was dealing like that, like I was for years, then it's like, you know, and then you self-defending yourself. You feel the need to have to do that. You feel the need to have to stand up. Like, dude, you ain't, well, you know, back in the day, blah, 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 you know, you ain't doing that. Who you think, you know, and it's that mouth, knowing that you can't do nothing, but you got a sharp tongue. And a dude, I done had many guys say that they have never forgotten the things that I've said to them. I'm talking about straight up kingpins have said that. Straight up. Like, I will never forget what you said.
Wow.
They forgave me, but they said, girl, your mouth. He said, I'll never forget it. You know, so anyway, Jeff, come on, because we got to hear what you got to say. This right underneath our nose, financial consultant, Jeffrey Hill, what you got to say, man?
What is up, ladies? Where exactly do I need to start with this? Like, do you want a financial, or do you want me to weigh in on what you guys are just talking about? Because I got a whole earful as soon as I got plugged in. Where do you want me to start?
Start with relationship, and then you can go. You said you can tie it in, so you work that.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, relationships are more about learning who you are more than anything. Right. Stephen Covey wrote the book, you know, seek first to understand, then to be understood. But, you know, if you're always trying to argue your point and don't sometimes take the time out to hear what the other person is actually saying, that's going to hold you back. So, you know, the topic of sex is near and dear to my heart, because to me, I've been an entrepreneur now for, good gosh, almost 10 years. And I had to have that come to Jesus moment, and I had to understand what's called the law of sacrifice. And that law of sacrifice was, Jeff, what are you willing to give up for your success? And sex was the first thing that came to my mind, because for me, that was going to be a big distraction. I know me. So I was growing my awareness and my relationship with myself and who I was. So it was important to understand my time. Because I'm thinking, if I make my own schedule, I'm single. I'm out here. I can be scheduling, you know, sessions throughout the day. Oh, if I miss an appointment and I know this girl is off this day, that's a phone call. So I had to be real with myself and think, Jeff, what is the number one thing that can distract you from reaching your goal? And sex for me was the thing. You know, This Friday, I'm doing a speech competition. The name of the speech competition is called, The Slip. And the slip is those moments where you just said, you hit the nail on the head with this, that one person might do something to say something, and that triggers it, and all of a sudden, you're back in the mix. Usher said it best, you get lost in the sauce. It happens like that sometimes, right?
I mean, it's
facts. If we're being real, we're being adults about it. We've all had it. I mean, I know for me, when I said no to sex, it was eye-opening. I learned a lot about myself, a lot about self-control, and I also learned a lot about dating. You know, it used to be this thing where it was always the female who was saying, no, I want to wait, I'm saving myself, I'm not about that life. And the guy was having to conform. But now the power was on me. So when I would let the girl know, listen, man, that's not what I'm about. I'm not about that life. I don't have any plans to get into marriage. It was, well, what do you mean? Like, how can we date if we're not having sex?
And then, even with that, Jeff, just not to even cut in, but just so people can be clear, that even though those words have been spoken, about five more days later, the sex started happening. So it's like, who are you telling that to? Are you about that life for real? Have you really, really, come into that place where, you know, you're being honest with it, or are you just saying it? Because I think you and I was talking, and we were talking about how it, even with that, has to be on purpose. Like, what's right. The motive behind you being celibate? If it's only because God wants you not to, then you haven't really come into that place where it's right. where your motive is correct, because we fall short of him all the time. So what explain to people what that motivation or that purpose, I'm celibate because, you know, I know everybody want to be religious and be like, well, God told me to, but he told you not to do it and you done did it. So I mean, ooh. Now when is the moment called or look like when somebody says, like, where you have, like, okay, I'm doing this on purpose, because why?
Right. Well, so you know, I didn't understand the depth of it until I read the book Think and Grow Rich, and it seems like a weird book to quote in this time frame, but there's a chapter in there called The Law of Sexual Transmutation, and it talks about the sexual transmutation of energy and how detrimental that is to your spirit, because you are giving a piece of you. And I'm pretty sure you guys have seen the little spiritual memes, and you know, you got the people who are talking about chakras and all of that and that level of energy. But have you ever really meditated to understand what that really meant? Like, what you're giving away. That's a soul tie. That's a piece of you that you can never give back. You can't take that back once it's given. And that energy should be coveted. And I grew up in the South. I grew up, you know, in a male-dominated family. It was all about, boy, you ain't got none yet. What you waiting on? So I grew up thinking that, I got to be accepted by the guys. I need to be out here, you know, doing my thing. So nobody ever really taught me to not be sexual like that, you know? It wasn't a thing. So the moment came from understanding myself, saying, listen, If you know this is a distraction for you, you have to be intentional and say no to it. And again, I had no problem saying no until the slip happened. And the slip is that little subtle thing that happens that starts to make you look sideways. One of my mentors was talking about, imagine you being on a treadmill, right? If you're walking on a treadmill, you can turn all the way around and look behind you, and nothing happens. You don't fall. As you speed up a little bit, you might be able to look to the left and to the right, but if you're running full speed and you try to turn around, you're going right backwards, because that's what that pull is taking you. That's what happens in the slip. And this girl caught my attention. And the attention went to conversation, went to let's meet, went to, oh, we probably shouldn't do this, to now I'm full-blown in a spiral, right? So I had to, it took me 6 years to recover from this, to where last year, January 15th, I was like, yo, enough is enough, cold turkey. I went to church, prayed about it. I did my fasting period, and I'm celebrating a year celibate. It's not always an easy thing, but I had to be intentional, because it was costing me.
Intentional.
It was costing me the vision that was already aligned for me.
Yeah. Let me tune in real quick, because I want people to listeners to understand this. Okay, so the soul ties can be severed. They can be severed. You can cut those soul ties. God can restore and replenish you. You don't have to live connected to someone because of sexual encounter, but you do have to pray and allow God to cleanse you for that. And you need to say, I sever the cord connected to whatever the name is, and believe God that you're cutting cords and you're uprooting it and all of that stuff. You're going to have to pray over yourself intentionally and in depth that way. Also, I want to say it works both ways with men too. Jeff and I, we're going to do a Facebook Live. I don't know when, but we talked about this briefly yesterday, that we're going to discuss this. But I want to get into this because it's so important for guys to understand. I know women always think soul ties. They think, you know, orgasms, and they got stuff, cells going in their body, little demons and all that stuff. But let me tell you about what the same thing applies to men too. So let me tell you, because I told a guy this week, this is very important that you all understand this. I hear guys talk a lot about I hear guys talking a lot about she has daddy issues, she got this issue, and you know, she don't trust this and that. Listen, when you deal with a woman that has got abandonment issues or some kind of abuse, any kind, mentally success abuse, like when a parent wants them to be overachievers, that type of abuse is never good enough, any of those type of things, they got trauma in their childhood. I don't care how successful they are. I don't care how bad they look, how many hips, butt, breasts, I don't care how small they waist is. I don't care. I don't care what they got. I don't care what they live in. I don't care where they drive. I'm telling you now, if you're not prepared to deal with what you done seen already, and God done showed you the little girl, and you done heard it come out her face, then you sit up there and you have intercourse with her, you don't know what little girl you gonna pull out. You can pull out the little girl once you don't call her back, or you're not consistent, and that relates to all that she's gone through all her life. You don't know if you're going to have a vindictive little girl. You don't know if you're going to have a rebellious little girl. You don't know if you're going to have a little girl come out that want to key your car. You don't know if you're going to have a little girl that want to stop you in your place. I'm just being honest. I'm being honest with you. When men say to me or tell me that they've dated women that have, you know, they got daddy issues, and you see that, and yet you still encounter intercourse with them, then you are setting yourself up to be to deal with that issue. It doesn't matter if it's coming out in a conversation. If you have a relationship, sexual relationships with someone, and then all of a sudden emotion, especially if that person has not overcome and conquered their emotion, it's a chance that you may get an angry little girl, a hurt little girl, and a little girl that might want to fight you, little girl. That's what I'm saying, because she's been dealing with it all her life. That's all. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat nothing. I mean, guys got to be just as intentional as possible. If you're listening so much to what the woman is saying and you still ignore those signs and you go and have intercourse with her, then now you're dealing with her emotions on top of soul ties.
Amen. Amen.
Well, did I shut the house down, Gina? You ain't saying.
Listen, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to come in and be accountable. You have to be responsible. You know, we live in this where we want to push the envelope, we want to play with fire, and again, when I talk about the slip, that's what that is. The slip is always rooted in some element of pride, like, oh, I got this. You know, I trust myself, and that's what I was saying. Okay, Jeff. You know, you got a handle on how to grow this business. You know, you can trust yourself to go ahead and have a little fun, you know, dabble a little bit here and there. And I couldn't. You know, the covenant that I made was, Jeff, if you want to be successful, what are you willing to give up? And even though I was still getting the awards and I was still, you know, climbing the personal, goals that I met, I was still somewhat unfulfilled because I was out there, right? And I was losing time, and it was hurting financially, even though I was making money, right? So for me, when I talk about tying this in, you know, the first thing to tie this in to how it affects your money, it's a distraction. That's the biggest thing. It's a distraction. The book talks about that focused energy. People who are highly sexed sometimes it takes them longer to reach their income goals, to reach whatever they wanted, because they're putting their energy in the wrong place. And it talks about from the guys, most guys don't hit their peak earning years until in their mid-50s, because they control that libido and they lower it, and they take that energy and put it into something more productive, and it pays major dividends. Well, I didn't want to wait that long. So I knew for me, I had to get back control. If you have discipline in one area of your life and you learn how to master that thing, that means you have discipline, period, and you can take that and put it into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah, so don't be a punk. Don't let the devil punk you out to make you think, oh, this is just your problem and that you got to deal with it. I mean, everybody has to go through a process. I agree with that 100%. You know, you have to challenge yourself in those areas so you can overcome that, and you've conquered that. And so to tell people, basically, with what you're saying, you came to a place where you were truly honest with God about your feelings, what you were thinking, you know, what you know, your body would be saying one thing and you telling it no. Tell people how that struggle was for you and how you were able to continue to overcome that to get as far as a year now celibate.
Right.
Because for me, it was working. I see you're single and never married. You know, so for me, I started off because I wanted people that were married and divorced, and all of a sudden they're having sex and now they're not. So like you done healed yourself in this and healed yourself in that, and now you know you have to regroup. So what? Because we got to close up in a little bit. What advice would you tell the people to get started?
So I would say you have to surround yourself with the people who are moving in the same direction. For me, that was my life group at church, you know. So, and I had to be open and honest with them. So what you put into something is what you can get out. The more energy you put into what you want, the more you're going to get out to, you know. Good measures, you know, press down, shaking, running over. That's more than just the offering. That's whatever you're putting your energy into, something that's positive, right? So for me, anytime I had the opportunity to share what I was going through, it gave me strength because it was confessing. Guys, listen, man, this is something that I struggle with, man. So, again, you know, if you guys want to show up, throw a prayer up for me, do it. And I remember.
So, were you dating at the same time, Jeff? I mean, have you been dating?
How you call it? What's the definition of dating is?
Taking somebody out to dinner. I mean, because some people don't even want to do that. They're scared. They're scared of themselves, really. And they're scared they're going to fall and make a mistake. But you call it slipping. So how would you address that? Because we got a couple of more minutes.
Yeah, so, yes, I was dating. I had a few relationships in there. And in the relationships, I mean, you know, sex wasn't, it was a part of it. But again, I knew I was still holding myself back by giving that part of me. And I would have that candid conversation, like, listen, we got to stop this. Like, I can't continue to be productive the way I need to be and give you that energy. And, you know, they had a choice. I'm like, you know, either I'm worth it or I'm not. If you don't think I'm worth it and you can't wait, then, you know, we gotta separate. But I was willing to put my belief and my faith on the line to walk away from somebody I thought I wanted to be with for the sake of pleasing what God had designed, right? You know, but again, I had to get around people who understood where I was coming from, that was willing to, you know, encourage me to keep going. And again, I made the cause bigger than just myself. I have to make this win for other people who are struggling with it, so I know what it takes to get over it. Because if I'm always slipping, it's kind of hard for me to tell you how to not slip. So every time I'm faced with it, I'm like, yo, I got to pray. I got to, you know, go take a walk, do something, put that energy into somewhere else, say a prayer, read, do something other than give in to that temptation. That's the flesh. Right. Deny the flesh. Grow the spirit.
And I'm telling you, this has been helping people. I got somebody that just said that this is really cutting deep for them, and that sex was definitely, they were going on a date and sex was definitely going to take place, and that she is so glad that she tuned into the show. This is really helping, helping her, and I just think it's such a blessing. Well, I mean, I wish we can go on. We're going to have to plan a date. Oh, Gina G, she got what she say. She got what she say. We got to hear this because I think, I don't know, I said something. Gina, what was the what she say, my sister?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to leave on a funny note because y'all got me over here on one. I just want y'all to know that I was having sex while I was praying for my husband. So I just want people to know that you are human and that you go through trials and tribulations. And I was confused. And when the Lord sent me my husband, I didn't even know. So that's probably why you shouldn't be having sex while you praying on him. But when I found out, I held on. Now, to what she said, it's going to be about that 130-year-old man. I'm tired of people talking about, oh, you only as young as you feel. That is a lie, okay? Let me tell you something right now. When somebody calls you ma'am, or when they say, excuse me, lady, let me let you know you are older than you think you are. So stop going around here wearing clothes you ain't supposed to, saying slang you ain't supposed to. I'm just going to let you know right now. And stop eating pizza when you ain't supposed to, because you know you're going to get heartburn. So I don't care what anybody say, you as old as you feel, you are old. And embrace it. And stop acting like you 19 years old again.
I love that. I love that. That is so good. I don't know. I don't. Yeah, that's so good, Gina. You'll know when it's over.
You know when it's over. You know when it's over. I'm telling you, when somebody say, "Oh, that lady coming over here," you done made it. Now you done made it. You no longer.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you, Gina G and Jeff Hill. These are the team, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat team. You gotta follow us on all social media. Go check out Comedian Gina G on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything. Comedian Gina G Too Funny. And Jeffrey Hill, follow him on Facebook and everywhere. Jeffrey Hill, financial consultant, and me, Dr. Gina R. Prince. We've gotta do this again, y'all. Jeff, you're gonna have to tell us how all three of us can get on so we can do the Facebook Live, because I still don't get it. We got to figure that out. But we're going to have to do this conversation next week, because there's so much to it. Right, Jeff? We had so much to add.
Oh, that's a lot. What I'm telling you, it's deep. It's layers to this.
Yeah, we're going to get real grimy. We're going to get deep in it, because this is blessing people, Gina, and we're going to do it on Tuesday or Thursday for you, okay?
Yeah, I'm with it.
Tuesday or Thursday. Okay, we're gonna, Jeff, you're going to have to send us instructions on how to do it, and we follow your lead. You set it up, and we'll do it. So you guys stay tuned on that. Check us out on all social media so you can follow us on Facebook Live. But you got to tune in next week to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Joining us is going to be Judah Band, the gospel artist Judah Band. I'm so excited about having them. They've been up for Stellar Awards. They're the bomb, y'all. You got to come and tune in for that next week right here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Thank you, producer Doug, for your love and extending the show. God bless you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. Until next time, we are loving you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.